This episode of Zero Pucks Given is brought to you by Star Market and Wise Snacks. Here's Dale Arnold.
Welcome to Zero Pucks Given. It is the hockey podcast here from Sports Radio WEEI. My name's Dale Arnold. And this is one of those interesting timing situations. I had asked Andrew Raycroft to record the podcast with me today. Little did I know that the night before Andrew Raycroft was going to appear, Tuukka Rask was going to stand on his head and help the Bruins to a 3-1 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs and a 3-1 series lead in the best-of-seven series. Andrew, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You got to help me with this one, and I know goaltenders, generally speaking, can be lightning rods for hockey fans in any city, wherever you play. Have you got any idea why Tuukka Rask is such a lightning rod in this town?
I don't, and I listen to talk radio on occasion in town, and I don't understand. I think he's given everything that anyone could ask to the organization over the last, you know, we're looking at 12 years now. It's getting up there. And last night's just another example. It's just so steady and to, you know, a big win on the road with the leader out. He stepped up in a big way, and they have a stranglehold on the series now.
You've heard it, and I hear it a lot, you know, talking to hockey fans on the talk show. I hear, oh, he's soft. You'll never win the big game with Tuukka. You'll never win a cup with Tuukka. I wonder what that's all born from. I guess they go back to that Flyer series when the Bruins had a 3-0 series lead and lost in seven. That was in 2006, for crying out loud. And yet that's what people go back to, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, all of those things are all in our career history, but those also make us better players. And you know, I think that without question, you know, I lost a series 3-1, and if I was ever in another series, I know I wasn't going to lose that series. You know, you find ways, and I'm sure Tuukka has the same experience, and, you know, he learned a lot from it. But yeah, to say he's soft, you know, he plays 60 games a year for the last 10 years, you know, at the level and the class that he does is, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, why. And I think the other thing is to really think about, and, you know, for everyone to think about, not everyone wins the Stanley Cup. There's a bunch of amazing Hall of Fame goaltenders that have never won a Stanley Cup. It's really difficult. So and he's been to the finals twice. You know, he carried the team 1 year and you know, helped get the team there as the second guy the year they won in 11. So, you know, to go to that and the softness doesn't really, you know, make sense, to be honest.
Part of the problem, I guess, is that in this town he suffers by comparison, because Tim Thomas is the goaltender who carried the Bruins to a Stanley Cup championship. Now, don't get me wrong, in the final two series of that playoff run, he was otherworldly. He was as good as I've ever seen. The first two rounds of that playoff run, he was good, not great. But the last two rounds, he was unbelievable, and that's what fans remember in this town.
Yeah, of course. Everyone remembers the win and the final two series, which he was, you know, lights out, Conn Smythe, the whole thing. But, yeah, there is a fine line. And who's to say, you know, Tuukka got to game six. Who's to say that, you know, a wrist shot from Hal Gill doesn't go in game seven overtime in Boston, and, you know, the Bruins get knocked out of that first round, and the narrative's completely different, 180 degrees different. So, you know, everyone's careers get defined on a very thin, fine line. And, you know, Tuukka's certainly no different. And hopefully, you know, he gets that break to go one way and, you know, they get to the finals and they find a way to win rather than losing game six in the last minute and a half of the game. So, again, it's such a fine line. And to judge people and careers is difficult on one playoff series.
As a former goaltender in the National Hockey League, and you and I've talked about goaltending a lot when you've been with me as an analyst on Nesson, how do you judge Tuukka stylistically? How do you describe the way he plays?
The way he makes moving on his knees, the way he's been able to adapt to the way that style is now and the way he does it makes it look so much easier than it actually is to get set on the post and to get the right angles, you know, on the down low and moving out. It's for me to watch, you know, just with a little bit of understanding on what he's trying to do, it's really incredible. And there's no one else that moves that way on the ice in the league. And in saying all that and the technique, he he's a great athlete, and he's able to make, you know, that save he made when he kind of muffed the puck behind the net last night. But to get back into, you know, to scramble and battle the way he did back, it takes an athlete. And so, you know, overall, it's, you know, the technique-wise is pretty, you know, is extremely solid like most guys in the NHL. But, you know, his ability and confidence to become an athlete at times when it's needed, it kind of separates him.
There are some people who may not know the connection, but I'll give it to them. You were a Calder Trophy winner for the Boston Bruins in 03-04. Tuukka Rask was drafted in the first round, 21st overall, in the 2005 draft by the Toronto Maple Leafs. On June 24th, 2006, you were traded to Toronto for Tuukka Rask. It was an even-up swap. The Bruins dealt you to Toronto for Tuukka Rask. He was a 19-year-old prospect. He was playing in Finland. They didn't really have an idea of what he was going to be like. But just to put it all in perspective, on that day, June 24th, 06, the Bruins traded you for Tuukka Rask, and they drafted Phil Kessel, Milan Lucic, and Brad Marchand. That's a pretty good day in any team's developmental system, isn't it?
Yeah, that day certainly changed the this generation for the Bruins, without question. And it's interesting for me to be on the other end of that now. You know, it's really interesting because the Leafs had two, you know, top blue chip prospects. Justin Pogge was the other guy, and that's who the Leafs decided to keep. You know, he was the one off the board, and Tuukka was expandable, which, you know, obviously in hindsight, it didn't work out. But at the same time, for, you know, Tuukka to get out of Toronto and come to this organization at that time with Lucic and Marchand coming in, and then obviously Patrice getting older, and Chara came in that same year as well. So those are big names that everyone knows now, but, you know, obviously 11, 12 years ago now, whatever, you know, we're getting up there, getting away from it. But certainly interesting for me to be on the other side now. And looking back, it changed the Bruins organization for this generation, no question.
What were your feelings when the Bruins told you were traded to the Leafs?
I was excited. I was on vacation.
Because you're a Belleville, Ontario guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and all my friends were in Toronto at that time. So, and I know exactly, you know, I knew exactly what it meant to be the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender. It's like being, you know, the starting pitcher for the Red Sox, or the, you know, now the Patriots quarterback. It's a big deal, a big responsibility. And I was, you know, over the moon, excited, especially at that time with the Bruins as well. It wasn't the best time to be a Bruin. There was nowhere near the excitement or the love for the organization that there is now. And there was, you know, there was some lean years at that time. So I was excited to get to Toronto and, you know, have that experience up there was really something.
Look, I know you were excited to go home, and I understand that. But the Maple Leafs sucked too, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, at the time, I thought I was going to be the one to turn the whole thing around. You know, as a guy, goalie, that's what you think. Unfortunately, I realized, you know, it didn't go that way, and it went even more downhill after I left up there. And they're just trying to get back to even right now. So yeah, they weren't very good either.
I was thinking about that because you had a really good year. The full season you played there, I looked at the numbers earlier today, you had a really good year. Goals against average below 3. You played in 70 games or something. And then the next year, they dealt you halfway through the season. What the heck happened?
Yeah, again, it was, you know, being up there and in that, you know, we didn't make the playoffs. Essentially, you know, at the end of the day, we lost on the last day of the season. We weren't even playing. The Islanders beat the Devils in a shootout. And if they had a loss, we would have gotten to the playoffs. And I think, again, that fine line that I talked about earlier, you know, like if we get into the playoffs and go on a run, then, you know, that whole thing changes. But we weren't able to get in. And if you don't make the playoffs in a big market like that, change happens. And for me, it happened quick. I wasn't able to really bounce back, you know, mentally. Maybe I didn't come back, you know, in the right frame of mind. And, you know, as the business goes, things happen quick. So just to kind of regroup, too, on one point, I always think at the point now, the way things are, and you talk about how Toronto sucked, I feel like I was able to get Tuukka out of there to get him here. So I'll take some credit for, you know, his Hall of Fame career.
They should have given you a ring.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to that because when we were doing the telecast last night, we showed that scene outside. They're in that big square near the Air Canada Center. And it goes back to the Bruins-Toronto playoff series a few years ago in that Game 7 when the Bruins were down 3 in the third in Game 7 and ended up winning in overtime. We kept going to that shot of those fans. I mean, you know what it's like up there. The angst those fans feel all the time. The gut punches that they seem to take year after year after year, and yet they keep showing up.
Yeah, no question. And those are my friends. Those are my best friends. You know, they're all in on the Leafs every year. They plan the parade route. It's to be at this point now, and it's becoming more and more similar as Red Sox. You know, up until 2004, that's kind of the way for everyone here to think about it. That's what the Leafs feel. It's 1967. I mean, that's everybody knows. You know, and those guys become bigger heroes every year. The Leafs don't go, you know, far in the playoffs. So it really is something. And those square, that's kind of what the whole city looks like. That little square encapsulates basically all across Ontario.
Did you enjoy your time playing there?
I did. It was a lot. And looking back, I probably would have been better suited to, you know, have more of a suburban life that I have now. It was busy, and it takes a lot of, like I said, responsibility and discipline. And but yeah, it's one of those things. You know, it's really difficult, but to be able to say you played for the Toronto Maple Leafs is something special. You know, where I'm from.
All right, let's go back to this series. As we're sitting there on set doing the pregame show last night, we're half hour into the 1 hour pregame show, and Billy and Barry are talking. They're doing their segment, and in my ear, Sean Allen, my producer, is saying, "Patrice Bergeron isn't on the ice," as they come out for warm up. And I'm sort of thinking what I'm going to do, and I'm letting them finish their thought. And then 10 seconds later, he says, "The Bruins have just tweeted out Bergeron is out." And I interrupt them. And I say, "We've got breaking news here, guys. Patrice Bergeron is not going to play in tonight's game." And you could see the look on both their faces. And I'm sure it was the same on every Bruins fan's face last night. Holy crap, how did this happen?
Yeah, credit the Bruins for keeping that quiet in Toronto for 2 days is impressive, nonetheless. That alone. So certainly a shock. And obviously a lot more questions, you know, than answers at this point. And I'm sure, you know, that also goes to that win last night. You know, obviously a big win, everything else. But the chance to finish out the series sooner and get more rest, this is a perfect example of why you need that to have a long run. You need a couple short series to get everybody in. Obviously, we're only four games in, and it's already, you know, showing its worth if they can close this out on Saturday.
Now, I'll say this. Patrice Bergeron was skating over here at Warrior this morning with Brian Gionta. Mm-hmm. And even last night, Bruce Cassidy said after the game, "We're hopeful he'll be ready for Game 5. I'm wondering if you're Bruce Cassidy, and you've got a 3-1 series lead, and you know Patrice Bergeron's battling something. You know what it is. I don't know what it is. Are you tempted to say, you know what, Patrice, we're going to try to win this without you?
No, just because of the playoffs. And when you get a chance to, you know, step on the team's, you know, end it, you do everything you can to end it. You never want to let them back in. It's easy to lose this game, and then all of a sudden you're going back to their building, and then you have a Game 7. And so I think if he's healthy and cannot make whatever is injured worse, you get him out there and, you know, hope he does what he does. That being said, there is, you know, a small luxury that they've had and proven that this season that they can win with anyone out of the lineup. And to have that confidence, certainly you're not going to, you don't feel like you have to put him in a terrible spot, injury-wise. If it's going to get worse, you can afford to take another couple days off. So, I think, you know, long answer long, you put him in if he can play. But they do have a luxury of being able to win and finding ways to win with any of these guys out of the lineup.
Andrew, to your point, counting last night's game, The Bruins are now 12-5-2 in the 19 games Bergeron has not played in this year.
Yeah, it's incredible. It is really incredible what they've been able to do, the coaching staff and Don and all the guys stepping up and you know, just goes to the character that the team has and why everyone has such a good feeling about, you know, what they're doing over there.
There was a great piece yesterday in the Players' Tribune. It was written by Brad Marchand, and it's one of those first-person things, and maybe he has a ghostwriter, but they're his words. And it is an amazing piece and a glimpse behind the scenes of Brad Marchand. He said, if I don't play the way I play, you don't know my name because I'm not in the NHL. Do you agree with that?
1,000%. Yeah, 1,000%. That kind of character doesn't just show up when you end up in the NHL. You know, he's fought and scrapped his whole, you know, since he was 7, 8 years old. And you know, all the guys in the NHL, for that matter, you know, or at least 95% of them, weren't the best players on their teams growing up. They weren't the best players in their cities or towns or wherever they're from, and they're always fighting uphill. And you know, for a lot of guys like Marchand, you can't turn that off when you get to this level. And you know, again, he's a different it's a different case for him because most of those guys don't end up being, you know, 3, 4, 5 time All-Stars and Stanley Cup winners. So they don't get the same limelight as some of the third or fourth line guys do. But without question, you know, you don't get to that level by changing your character at the end of, you know, when you get to the NHL. And he's not going to change. It's the way he is, and he's on that line, and it's, you know, he can cross it sometimes, but, you know, without question, that makes him the player he is. And, you know, scoring the big goals that he does, like he did last night.
You know, I go back to his rookie season, the year the Bruins won the Cup, and I look at the player who's on the ice now, and it's almost like they're two different people. The advancement that he's made, the hard work he's obviously put in, the development that he's obviously undertaken, is almost unbelievable to me. And I think there are two things at play here. One is Claude Julien. And in the piece, he gives Claude Julien a lot of the credit. But two is Patrice Bergeron. Julien put them together way back when, and he said to Brad Marchand, you won't be the best player on the ice because Patrice Bergeron will be the best player on the ice. But you can be the second best player on the ice. And I think that's driven him ever since.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I would throw a third name in, Zdeno Chara. As well, and what kind of a umbrella he's, you know, his blanket is all over this organization, his professionalism and how to work, and you know, Patrice and Marchand especially have learned so much from that, and they've taken those, you know, they've taken it to heart and become the same kind of leaders. So without question, those three guys and having those three guys mentor you and be in your side and help you learn and become better. Well, and match that with the talent and the work ethic and the character that Marchand has. I mean, that's where we're at today. It's impressive.
We've got to go back to the third member of what I have said is the best line in hockey. 99 goals combined this year, all of them either high 20s or low 30s in plus minus. We've talked about Bergeron. We've talked about Marchand. Now we've got to talk about the most talented player on the Bruins, because I really think that's what David Pastrnak is.
He is, and it's a perfect mix. We just talked about character and seriousness and discipline, and then Pasta comes in, and David's just, you know, brings new life to everything. He's so excited to do everything. He's got a big smile on his face. And I was lucky that we went to China a couple years ago, my wife and I, with the Bruins. We did the clinics over there, and David was on the trip, and you know, just to be around him for 10 days over there was a blast every day. You know, big smile every morning, on the ice with the kids, and then my wife flew back with him actually, and she fell in love with him. She thinks he's the greatest kid in the world. You know, drove him back to his apartment when we got into the city. Like, just a great kid and very respectful and very thoughtful and happy to talk and outgoing. And on top of all that, his talents have gotten so much. You know, he's improved so much from, you know, 2 years ago, and he's only 21. It's going to be fun to watch him grow up like we have Patrice.
As you watch this Bruins team all season long, and we've talked about this, you know, during the course of the season at different times, who's been the biggest surprise for you this year?
I think a little bit is Pastrnak, is David. I think, you know, he's grown so much and been able to take that first line role and you know, without having Patrice at times and without having Brad at times, you know, I think he's really stepped up. You know, it's that seventh player award thing. You know, you wouldn't give it to him. You know, he's not that. That's what he was supposed to do. He just signed a huge deal, but I think he's growing more than I expected. Secondly, the real name that kind of comes up and speaks up is Kevin Miller. You know, he's really improved his game to a point where he's really depended on back there, and he's you know, I think that's helped with the coaching change and the different mentality of jumping into the play for the D-men and giving them a little bit more rein, allowing them to make mistakes, and he's certainly benefited from that. So I would put him you know, one and 1A.
You played for Mike Keenan here for the Boston Bruins. So you played on a team that was pretty united, basically, in their dislike for Mike Keenan. So now I think about this Bruins team. Marchand has talked about it. Others have talked about it. How tight they are. How close they are. How much do you think that affects success or failure for a team?
I think it affects success in a major way. You can be a close team and not make the playoffs. So that, you know, that, don't get me, like, I've been on close teams where everyone really got along and, you know, we weren't any good. But I think if you have that, to win a Stanley Cup, you need that kind of connection and that kind of camaraderie and that kind of love for each other as teammates. It's certainly obviously a different kind of love than, you know, what we're used to. But that, you know, wanting to go through the wall for your teammates and all those cliches are something that is very important, and that's something that every championship team in hockey has on some level. So it's a big deal. They never feel like they're out of it. They never get down on each other, and they have complete belief in the guy next to them is going to do everything they can to win, no matter the score or the situation they're in.
It's funny you should say that, because probably the single moment where it just crystallized for me and I realized how tight they were, it was a game last month in March, Bruins in Tampa Bay. Dan Girardi gives Patrice Bergeron a hard but clean check at center ice. Had no issues with the hit at all. I don't think Patrice had any issues, but it was a pretty good hit. And David Pastrnak goes right to him, drops the gloves, and challenges Dan Girardi. And I'm thinking, you know, three guys had Gordie Howe hat tricks this year for the Bruins. David Pastrnak might be the last guy I would have picked to be one of them.
No, exactly. And that just it's a circle. It keeps going. When David does that, you know, everyone else on the bench sees that, and you know, it doesn't go unmissed. And it's hard to explain, and you can't really just force it. But that doesn't necessarily happen on every team in the NHL. Not everybody's going to go to bat for one of their teammates that gets hit, and it's just whether they don't get along or they just don't have that passion to win for their teammates. So couldn't agree more that those kinds of situations are telling and are important to winning teams.
I was a big Claude Julien fan. I thought he was a hell of a coach. I still think he's a hell of a coach. And look, he won a Stanley Cup here, and they'd gone a long time between Stanley Cups. Having said all that, Bruce Cassidy's done a better job with this team in the short period of time that he's got. Now, he's got more talent on this team than Claude had when he got fired. But what he's done with the talent and how he's coached them has really impressed me this year.
No question. He's done a fantastic job. And I think having those couple months last season really helped give him an idea of where the direction the team went. So I think that's certainly been a benefit for him, being able to be in the room and get to know, you know, exactly how Zdeno leads and exactly how Patrice leads, and being able to, you know, and Bruce has said this numerous times, to be able to come into this situation and have those guys as your leaders is such a benefit as a coach, to be able to just kind of turn it over to them, turn the room over to them, and let them, you know, the same way Tom Brady polices the dressing room down in Foxborough and leads by example. That's what those guys do here. You know, and going back to Claude, I think at some point for Claude Julien, it was just a matter of being here too long. The message can get stale as a coach, and you know, he's probably, you know, that extra year or two, which maybe tarnishes the way people think of him here, but he was a great coach. And like you say, all, you know, winning a Stanley Cup with that group that he had at the time, you know, was really impressive. But the organization's changed. They have a lot more young guys, and you just need a different voice and a different way of thinking and seeing the players that are in that organization. So
I saw that happen. I'll tell you, another guy I saw that happen with was Terry Francona. He wins two World Series titles, for crying out loud. He breaks the 86-year drought. Everybody loves him. He's funny. He's forthright. He does a great job managing. And it came to a point where he had to go.
Yeah. And that's pro sports. And you know, it happens in all sports and in any situation. It just, the time comes and you got to move on. But, yeah, certainly similar situations, I guess, with those two guys. You know, they should forever be beloved by the fans here, and I'm sure history will look good for them.
When this playoff run started, just, you know, a little over a week ago, when it started, what did you see as the eventual outcome for the Bruins?
I thought this series was going to be tough, to be honest, and it still can be, and it's still, I mean, they've been, but I did not see them blowing them out those first two games. I thought losing that final game last week was going to be something that they looked back and said, geez, you know, that was kind of messed that one up. But the narrative's changed real quick. And now, you know, you look forward in the way that the playoffs are structured. You know you're going to get, you know, a Tampa Bay or New Jersey next if they get through this. So I think everything's become much more positive on the way I see it. You know, there's no reason for them not to go all the way. There really isn't. The way they won last night to without Patrice, with getting outshot, getting outchanced, but they find a way that they get their one chance and they make it, you know, they get their 2-on-1 and Marchand and Pastrnak, they don't miss it. You know, they take advantage. The same with DeBrusk's goal. Like those are key moments, and they keep finding a way to come through in those moments. So it would be a disappointment at this point not to get to, you know, to the third, fourth round.
What's it going to be like for your buddies in Toronto if the Leafs lose this thing tomorrow night?
They've already packed it in. They're already off. They jump on and off this bandwagon like so quickly. So they're already off. You know, last night was it. Now they're done, and they'll you know, it's going to be another 40 years till they win. So so yeah, they're done.
And yet they show up.
Oh, they'll show up. Yeah. Yeah, they'll show up. So it's funny though. They despise the corporate mentality of the rink. There was only 96 seats available for the public for the first series up there. It's all suits, and it's so there's a little bit of disdain for that. But at the end of the day, they're all Leafs fans, and you know, yeah, they'll still come back expecting a cup next September.
This is Zero Pucks Given. It's brought to you by Star Market. It's been fun to reconnect with an old friend, former Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft, who, remember, Bruins fans, is the guy who brought you Tuukka Rask, so you should thank him when you run into him on the streets of Boston.
Buy me a beer.
Buy you a beer. Andrew, I really appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely, Dale. Thanks. My pleasure.
Take care.
Before the ice freezes and the ref drops the puck, make the Wise choice at your local grocer's aisle this hockey season and pick up your favorite Wise Snacks products. Made with high-quality ingredients packed with delicious flavor, Wise Snacks is that clutch score for your taste buds. Let's go, hockey fans. Hop over the boards and get your feet moving. Go top shelf this season and pick up your favorite-tasting Wise Snacks products as your team continues its quest towards the cup.